Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Jayam Vishnupad, Perman, Subhari Pajakachar, Jasatara, Satasi, Shamanas, Divine Grace, Sesi, Bhakti, Vananta, Samachil, Purvada, Ki, Jai. Ananda, Koti, Vaishnavinda, Ki, Jai. Iskan, Founda, Charja, Shil, Purvada, Ki, Jai. Prems, Gosi, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Siya, Dari, Tikarad, Hashiva, Sari, Govar, Bhakti, Vinda, Ki, Jai. Sri, Sri, Radha, Krishna, Gopinath, Shaima, Kunda, Radha, Kunda, Giri, Govardhan, Ki, Jai. Sri Vrindavanam ki jai, Sri Navadvipam ki jai, Gangamayi ki jai, Jamunamayi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Shyamavela Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Nittai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bhava. Among Vishnu Praya Krishna Vistaya Bhutalashi Mali Bhakti Vedanta Shamani Tanam Namaste Sisoda Biko Vanjana Vishasin Vare Pishkati Vistaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naital bata disha padam tavekshitam. Yan maya yanas tanushe bhuta sukshman. Anugrahayas tvapi yahi maya. Lasatulasya Bhagavan Vilakshita. Go ahead,
Prabhupada.
Daitabhatadishu padam tavepsitam. Mataji's lecture chant after. Any Mataji's like to chant? Naital. So the na in that is not. So na,
na.
Not.
Etal.
This.
Bata.
Indeed.
Adisha.
O Lord.
Padam.
Material world.
Tava.
Your.
Ipshitam.
Desire.
So that line itself is very interesting, because what the Bhagavatam is describing, what Sukadeva Goswami is now describing to Maharaj Parikshit is Kadama, as you know, Kadama Muni's prayers after seeing the Lord. And up to this point, he's described the nature of the material world and how ultimately, of course, it is created by Krishna. And yet, in the previous verse, it described everything is coming from Krishna as a spider web is coming from a spider, and it's maintained by the spider, and it's ultimately absorbed into the spider. And before that, how the time factor, and so much of the third canto of the Bhagavatam is based on this description of creation. and how Krishna is the source of that creation. And one naturally will ask, and so many religionists and philosophers ask this, then what is the purpose of this creation? And here in the first line of this verse, this is being distressed. Na itad bhata adisha, O Lord, this, not this, indeed, bhata, for emphasis, indeed, this whole creation of the world, of the whole universe, padam, the material world, tava ipshitam, it is not your desire. This is the first thing that Kardama Muni is explaining to the Lord. He's explained that I have my material desires, and therefore I've worshipped you. But this entire universe, the creation of the entire thing, it is not exactly your desire. Now he's going to go further and explain something more. Yan, which, mayaya, by your external energy, na, for us, tanushe, you manifest. So you manifest this entire creation, and in Los Angeles, I don't know if it works, but in most places of the world, if you look up at night and see, you can see the stars in the sky. It's huge. This entire creation is huge. Sometimes we become so enwrapped in our own worlds, in our own minds, that we forget just how huge and intricate the material world is. And it is being manifest, Kardama Muni is saying, by the Lord, just for us. It is not his desire. And of course, the Bhagavatam is meant to teach us what is the Lord's desire for us. If the material world is not the Lord's desire, and yet he's created this entire thing, what is his desire for us? Quite interesting. Let's continue. So he's manifested, Tanusha, you manifested for us the entirety of the material world, even though it is not indeed, this is not your desire. Bhuta Shukshman. Yes, Bhuta Shukshman, thank you. The elements, gross and subtle. So that means everything. The gross elements from the wood to the marble to this, to our bodies. And the subtle material elements. The mind, intelligence, the ether, and even the air, which is gross but subtle in the sense we can't see it and we can perceive it. Just by moving our hands or something like that, we can't see it, but we perceive it with other of our senses. Everything is manifested by him. Why is this happening? And then the next word will give us a further hint about this. Anugrahaya. Yes. For bestowing mercy. So how is it possible that this material world is meant for bestowing mercy? That is, practically speaking, the purpose of our life, to find that out. How can this material world, which is seemingly for the materialists, it's to bestow sense pleasure, and for the devotee, we find out that it bestows misery in another sense. Now, how is it possible that the material world actually is a place to bestow mercy? Let's hear more. Astu, let it be. Api, also. Yarhi, when. Mayaya, through your causeless mercy. Lasat, splendid. To lasya, with a wreath of tulsi leaves. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vilakshita, is perceived. Here is Prabhupada's translation. Now, because I was a teacher for so many years, I should warn you that I'm going to probably ask at the end of the translation after reading it if anyone remembers anything that they just heard. And I'm going to ask, so please listen carefully. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us, for you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. Anyone remember anything from the verse? Just anything. He's reading it. That makes it easier. Yeah, very interesting. Thank you. Anyone else? It wasn't his desire. Thank you. It's done by his mercy. Yes. What else? Gross and subtle matter. Yes. What else? He wants to give blessings to us. This is his desire. What was he wearing around his neck? Yes, a garland of tulsi. He was so beautiful. We heard this a few verses ago, that he appeared before Kadama Muni, standing upon Garuda, looking so beautiful. Effulgent yellow cloth. Curling blackish hair, kastuba, jewels, marking of Srivat. Beautiful lotus eyes appearing before Kadama Muni. Now here, repeat, please. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us. Because this is a prayer. He's asking for the Lord's causeless mercy. For you have appeared before us in your eternal form, adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. Now here is Prabhupada's purport. Now listen carefully, because you know what's going to happen after I finish. It is clearly stated here that the material world is not created by the personal will of the Supreme Lord. It is created by his external energy because the living entity wants to enjoy it. This material world is not created for those who do not want to enjoy sense gratification, who constantly remain in transcendental loving service, and who are eternally Krishna conscious. For them, for those who are in that mood, the spiritual world is eternally existing, and they enjoy there. So immediately there's two different sides being set up. The material world created for those who have a particular desire, and the spiritual world, which is eternally existing, created for those who have deep spiritual desires, transcendental loving service, eternally Krishna conscious. Prabhupada continues. Elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that for those who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this material world is useless because this material world is full of dangers at every step, and it is not meant for the devotees, but for living entities who want to lord it over the material energy at their own risk. Krishna is so kind that he allows the sense-enjoying living entities a separate world created by him to enjoy as they like. Yet at the same time, he appears in his personal form. The Lord unwillingly creates this material world, But he descends in his personal form, or sends one of his reliable sons, or a servant, or a reliable author like Srila Vyasadeva to give instruction. He himself also instructs us in his speeches of Bhagavad Gita. This propaganda work goes on side by side with the creation to convince the misguided living entities who are rotting in the material world to come back to him and surrender to him. Therefore, the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita is this: give up all your manufactured engagements in the material world and just surrender unto me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. So that's Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Now, what do you remember? Tell me something that you remember. What's stuck in your mind? Yes, fool. Yes, it's not meant for devotees. There are other reasons why it actually is meant for devotees. But here Prabhupada is pushing the point. He's putting forward a position that it is not meant for the devotees to enjoy. Actually, there's a wonderful purpose for the material world, for the devotees. And that is for the sadhaka, the practitioner devotees. Here is an opportunity. The material world is an opportunity to raise his consciousness up to the point of prema bhakti and to go back home, back to Godhead. Because unless we're qualified in that way, we cannot go to the spiritual world. So the material world is a field for devotional service, for increasing our devotion to Krishna and our service to Krishna. Not for pleasure. Now, what is the verse that Prabhupada is paraphrasing there elsewhere in the Bhagavatam? What verse? Huh? Yad vipadam. This verse is incredible, actually. One time when Prabhupada was in the hospital after he was ill in 1967, when he was in New York, Satsrup Maharaj told me that the devotees asked Prabhupada, what does it actually mean to surrender to Krishna? Because sometimes we don't know exactly what it means. Of course, the Bhagavad Gita explains it, and the Lit Shastras explain. Srila Jiva Goswami actually says that the essence of surrender is gotripte varanam tata, complete dependence upon Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, for example, that chanting should be with that type of mood of complete dependence. That is, namasraya, taking shelter of Krishna's names. I'm depending upon you. I'm not depending upon myself. I'm not depending upon my capacity, my intelligence, this, that, my abilities. I'm depending upon you. So in any case, the devotees asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of surrender? And Prabhupada taught them this verse. Sama sritam ye parapalava pladam pavam mahatpadam yasho punyayasho marari pavam buddhir vatsapadam parampadam padam padam yadvipadam natesham. That for one who has actually given himself to Krishna, placed himself under the protection of Krishna, this material world, which is such a dangerous place, vipadam, it is full of dangers at every step. And it is an ocean of dangers, practically speaking. Kalaya doshanadhi rajan. And Kali Yuga is especially an ocean of difficulty, so difficult. But this ocean of difficulty, for one who takes shelter of Krishna, this ocean shrinks down in size to vatsapadam, the size of the footprint of a calf. And anyone, even the smallest of children, can easily step over the hoof print, the water that fills the hoof print of a calf. And that is what occurs for someone who actually takes shelter of Krishna, makes Krishna the shelter of his life, who looks nowhere else except to Krishna for his protection and depends fully upon Krishna. And that is the mood of a devotee, and that is called surrender. So Prabhupada had the devotees actually memorize this verse. He said it over and over again and had them respond until they memorized it. And then he said, now do you understand what surrender is? And he didn't say any more. This is something for us to meditate upon. Actually, this is the meditation of a devotee. How can I surrender to Krishna and place Krishna in the center of my life? And act, what can I do that will please Krishna? That is a devotee's thinking. So Prabhupada continues. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. That was actually your point. Anyone else remember anything else from the... Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. 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 Thank you. Very nice point. Vijaypur. Yes. So Krishna doesn't abandon us into the material world. He creates it for our benefit. And because we want to enjoy Krishna Bhule Se Jeev, turning our back on Krishna, forgetting Krishna, anadya bahimuk. We turn our back on Krishna, atta eva maya tari. And therefore, the material energy gives us samsareta duk, the miseries of material existence. But Krishna doesn't forget us. We forget him. But he doesn't forget us in the material world. He comes to us. He's always trying to get through to us, reminding us that we don't belong here in the material world. And he does this in so many ways. And which ways did Prabhupada mention? Anyone on this side remember anything? Yes. 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 So he engages the devotees in preaching. What else? Yes. Servant, son, water. Oh, I thought you said water, meaning the air. That's a good one, too. The Ganges. Yes. What else? The book. The Vedic literature is meant. The Bhagavad Gita, which is like a river of nectar emanating from his mouth, instructing us that we should give ourselves to him. Thank you. Anyone else remember anything? Yes. 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 And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that for one who has decided that actually there is no pleasure for him in the material world, that he has taken the greatest step towards spiritual advancement. As long as we have these desires to enjoy in the material world, and they're within every conditioned soul, because this is what it means to be in the material world. The first, what is it we in this canto of the Bhagavatam, creation is discussed so many times. We even in the last chapter, the creation, the Achasaga Vishaga, the secondary creation of Lord Brahma, is discussed up to the point of the creation of Swayambhu Vamanu. And earlier on in the 7th, 8th chapter of this canto, also the creation is discussed. And also later on, Kapila Muni will describe it. this creation. Now, what is the first thing that it's actually created? First, there is the pradhan, or the primal material energy, where everything is there, but it's there more or less dissolved. It's unmanifest. And then what's the next step that causes the manifestation of the material energy? Yes. Yes, it's the glance. Akshatam. Krishna glanced at the material energy, and in that glance was the living entities. There are many things, but the living entities are in there, and they're karma and the time factor. And the time factor is like a big stirring rod. It just keeps the material world moving and moving. And this is an energy of the Paramatma, this time. It's unstoppable for that reason. It keeps the material energy moving. And then, with the living entities, their karma and time in there, then what happens next? There's a manifestation, the pradhan, or the undifferentiated material modes of material nature. They come out, and the three modes of material nature are there. Now, the creation is going to proceed. Now, what happens? What is there? What are the three modes of material nature combined with to make the creation proceed? No, that's the first thing, yes. That comes later, yeah, Sudhi. No, before that. Huh? The Mahatattva is what the whole thing is called after the glance, when it starts to differentiate. Does anyone know? False ego. False ego combines with the mode of goodness and creates the demigods in the mind. It combines with the mode of passion and creates the intelligence, which is always trying to manipulate the material energy for sense pleasure. And also the senses itself. And then when it combines with the mode of ignorance, it starts creating the going from subtle to gross, the actual gross material elements. The first thing that's created is this false ego. Because this I used to think that I had trouble with my mind, that I do have trouble with my mind and senses. But Galiji, the real trouble is on the false ego level. This is the subtle covering over the living entity. This is because the living entity, Jivera Sarupoi, Krishna, Nitya Krishna Das. We are Krishna's servant. This is our ego. This is who we are. But turning our back on Krishna, we turn our back on Krishna because we want to enjoy. This is at the root of it. But we can't enjoy being as Krishna Das. So therefore, the first thing we need is this false ego, a different identity. And what is the different identity that we have? It's anything. But the Bhagavad Gita describes it as Ishwaraham, aham bhogi, that I am the controller, I am the center of existence. The whole thing is revolving around me. And of course, the problem is you can't get anyone else to agree to that the whole thing is revolving around me. All those who think the whole thing is revolving around Burijan, raise your hand. No. No. You're motherly. No, but everyone, this is what it means to be in the material world. This illusion that everything revolves around me. This is called false ego. And compared to this subtle covering, which is so subtle, it so much combines with our consciousness. The actual consciousness, which is the symptom of the soul. It's so much integrated with us in the conditioned soul that later on Devahuti is going to ask the question, if you remove the material elements, is there anything left? And that's how it feels sometimes. You know, if I took away everything that was material, is there anything left? But there is, and something very, very wonderful is left. The soul, the eternal soul, Krishna's servant. So to get back to that point, not to remove or to bring our getting back to Krishna from to the most subtlest of levels where the false ego exists, therefore the process of samasritam ye parapalavapadam, the process of surrender has to be there. Because that's when the soul, me, says, oh, Krishna, for so many births, for so many years, for so many billions of years, I've been in the material world trying to enjoy myself, turning my back on you, imagining that I've been that I'm the center of existence, and taking this type of body to enjoy, and then moving to that type of body to enjoy, and then moving from this situation, and imagining that this is going to get me pleasure, and imagining that this is going to get me pleasure, and desiring that. And you can see this when you get old, because right now, by the time I'm the age I am, your knees, at least my knees hurt, and my back hurts, and my neck hurts. And then you see the kids running, and then you think, boy, I wish I could do that again. And immediately you're preparing for your next body. I recently asked, in a class, I asked the devotees, what's the worst thing you could think of happening to you? And one of the devotees raised his hand and said, becoming a teenager again. I thought it was funny. But that's not how we think. But what it's like to be a teenager again is the desires are just pumping through one's body and one's mind. And then when we become older, that becoming a teenager again, because there's so much desire, there's so much passion, there's so much ability, facility, desire to enjoy, that becomes, when you're old, that becomes very relishable. And you take a backward glance, oh, I wish I could do that again. I wish I could. And you're preparing, one's preparing for one's next body in that way. But on the other hand, if one increases his desire to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, if that is blossoming always in the heart, then one's next birth is very wonderful. Because everything depends upon one's desire. If we desire to serve Krishna, we'll be in the spiritual world. If we desire to enjoy matter, we'll be in the material world. It depends on what we desire. There is that freedom there, and that's so wonderful. It is wonderful. And Krishna so kindly has given us this freedom, and the freedom is specifically what to desire. It's so wonderful. So one thing that Krishna kindly does, another thing that we don't really think of it generally like this, but in the material world we're here, we have false egos, big false egos, and we want to enjoy this. We're trying to manipulate, change the material world around so it revolves around us, and there's so much competition in this way. And Krishna comes and he wakes us up. Here, take this book. Exalted devotees come who have... who are carrying around their own Krishna consciousness in their heart. And that's what it was like being with Prabhupada. That he had, his Krishna consciousness was so deep that it was flowing from him. And naturally, one wanted that thing, that taste, and his association that was giving that taste. So he gives that. And he gives the books, and he gives the devotees to preach. But he also has arranged the material world to continuously kick us, regardless of how much we desire to enjoy and to be the center of existence. The material world is set up mercifully by Krishna, Dukalayama Shashvatam, Anitya, Asuka, Loka, and the time factor keeps stirring everything. And the material world is longing for loving relationships that will be stable forever. He's longing for eternality, eternal situations. And he's trying to gain that in material world and crush, kicking, this, that. We have the desires. We want this to happen. And it doesn't happen. We dream of a situation in the material world where we'll be happy. And then we take one body after another trying to fulfill those dreams. But then, by the mercy of the material energy and Krishna, who is working under his protection. What verse? Bhagavad Gita, the material energy? Maya. Maya Dakshina Prakriti. And also Prakriti Kriyamanani. All this is moving under Krishna's direction. And it is kicking the living entity. And that kicking is very purposeful to remind us. To remind us that this is not our home. This is not our place. And it's very interesting because everyone likes a comfortable situation. There is no one who doesn't like that. But when we're in a difficult situation, when the material world gives one of its twists and turns and gives us what we are not looking for and gives us pain in one way or another, it's interesting to watch what happens to our mind at that time. Where does the mind go? Does it get angry at the instrumental cause of that misery? What does the mind do? Does it want to take shelter in going to sleep? Turn on the TV? Smoke a cigarette? What does the mind tend to do? Where does it go in difficult situations? That's Krishna reminding us, giving us a self-assessment if we're conscious. But what are you going to do at the time of death, when it's the most difficult of circumstances? So this material world is really the field again for devotees. That's actually, in one sense, why Krishna has made the material. It's a field for devotees to pay attention to what's going on, to use the material energy in Krishna's service, and to be very conscious of Krishna and how he comes to us in the material world. He comes, and for a devotee, therefore, the material world is always auspicious. Because even difficult circumstances, he calls out to Krishna. And then padam padam yad vipadam natesham vatsapadam. This insurmountable material world, which is huger than the Pacific Ocean. It's insurmountable for a devotee who learns the art of calling out to Krishna, fully depending upon Krishna, surrendering to Krishna, Sharanagati, returning to the natural consciousness of surrender to Krishna. The material world shrinks to very small size because Krishna, he takes the job of carrying the devotee over. And the other verses that were that the Kadama Muni describes about the lotus feet of Krishna are the shelter, or the boat, practically speaking, that one can use to cross this material world. So Prabhupada is very strong always in this. He wants us to see in this way and not see in that way. And not to mix in subtly or grossly. If we wish to go to Krishna, if we wish to go to Goloka Vrindavan, be careful. It's in our own interest to keep our consciousness very clean and fixed as Krishna's servant and surrendered to him. Oh Krishna, please you be the center. Instead of thinking what will please me, what will please you? What will please Srila Prabhupada? What will please the Vaishnavas? So read the verse again. My dear Lord, although it is not your desire, you manifest this creation of gross and subtle elements just for our sensual satisfaction. Let your causeless mercy be upon us. For you have appeared before us in your eternal form adorned with a splendid wreath of tulsi leaves. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is it time for questions or not? Any questions, comments? Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
So how is he in both of those consciousness? In other words, at the beginning of this speech, he seems to be, you know, he's certainly realizing it's the Darshan of the Lord, but now he really is not denying the good one.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons is that he's doing this under order, because Lord Brahma has specifically requested him to be a prajapati, a progenitor of the universe. And another reason is that who is going to be his son after this? Kapila Muni, the Lord himself, because he's actually so pure. When Kodama speaks and says, but I'm so foolish that even though you're standing before me, even though I know what you're capable of giving, I'm so foolish to have these lusty desires within my heart. But I heard one devotee once say that you can believe everything a devotee says except what he says about himself. So we're not so convinced. And ultimately, we can see this is if Krishna himself is going to come through this person, we can understand how pure he is. So this is, ultimately we can say it's Krishna's desire, it's Krishna's pastime, like that. But we can also say from another point of view, because there's so much teaching going on here, sometimes it does feel like that. Sometimes there's a famous story about Saint Augustine, who when he first converted, he began to pray, "Oh Lord, please take me fully. Please take me fully. I want to give myself to you." But not quite yet, because he had a girlfriend, something like that. So sometimes our hearts, you know, at different times are full with different quality of desires. So that's saying something about it. But ultimately, it's past times, because Krishna himself is going to come. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu. Excuse me?
I said, I have a question. Would you like to give yourself a piece of lecture?
Oh, yes. But unfortunately, I won't be here. That's what you learn from 12 years in India. Yes. But thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you very much.
I tried to keep everyone awake.
Oh, you did a good job. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.